Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here. Wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here. Wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
I'm down with no limit, I ride for the cause. I'm the nigga on the tank with the big fucking balls. And if anybody fuck with Snoop Doggy Dogg, I'ma make his niggas put his name on the wall. And everywhere I go, I got Mr. Magic, yeah. Because I know that nigga don't care. He'll have that red shit pouring out your hell. Nigga, any fucking time, nigga, any fucking world. Make him bleed is the motto that I live by. If you fuck with me, it's a must you die. Them niggas might go run, but them niggas can't hide. It's like shooting yourself. It's a suicide, KLC. Got to be hitting hard like Burt. Niggas in the know ya. Know a man's big hurt. Just like Soldier Slim, he'll put you in the dirt. And have your picture on front of a t-shirt. And when I make moves, I got 100 niggas with me. Just in case a nigga out there trying to get me. All my niggas is down to squeeze a trigger. That's why I'm down for my motherfucking niggas.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Span. We got the homie Cliff, a.k.a. DJ Neff, here with us. And we still waiting for the homie Walt Lockdown to get in here. But while we waiting on Walt to get in here, we going to rock out to Samoa to see Murder, man. Real talk. Watch out, rock out with us, man.
Don't shoot, nah, nigga. Just call me when you need me. Believe me, I never bite your hand and feed me. Just point them niggas out, now I leave them all on the street, please. Bitch, you fucking with a grown man. I be done wagged you in your house and then buried you on your own land. See, the cops are scared to come and get me. But I don't blame them, cause they know I got a bunch of dog niggas with me. Looking for trouble starting shit. I'm riding solo when I'm busting and getting rid of your clique. See, you boys ain't about beefing. When you fucking with niggas, that'll definitely get you eternal sleep. But if you didn't get the fucking picture... Bitch, I'm dying for my niggas.
Fuck them other niggas, cause I'm down for my niggas. What? Fuck them other niggas, cause I'm down for my niggas. What? Fuck them other niggas, cause I ride for my niggas. What? I die for my niggas, man. What? Fuck them other niggas, huh? Fuck them other niggas, cause I'm down for my niggas. What? Fuck them other niggas, cause I'm down for my niggas. What? Fuck them.
That take a nigga back to school, don't it? I remember strolling to this when we was in the wine click, man. Remember that shit? You remember that shit, man? We weren't even a frat, nigga. We was strolling in parties, nigga. Like, oh, man, let me turn that bullshit off, man, real talk.
Good times.
Yeah, man. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And the homie Walt. I don't know what's going on with the Crowdcast right now, man, but Crowdcast is really like giving like the middle finger to the homeboy Walt Lockdown, man. It's like locking down the access to the Beer and Chicken Podcast to Walt Lockdown. It's not a pretty thing, man. The only motherfucker on screen right now because of technical difficulties is Cliff. This nigga here. So while we work this out, let me let you guys know how to get in touch with us here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast. Let your voices be heard here. We're going to be talking about sports and shit tonight, right? So let me let y'all know how y'all can get in touch with us here and be a part of this as well. You can go ahead and hit us up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. You can leave those messages for us here at the show. And while we're doing the show live, like right now, you can call into the show. And you can chop it up with us while we're talking all this sports shit, right? Also, you can email us at feedback@thebeerandchickenpod.com. That's beerandchickenpod.com. Or, I'm sorry, feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Leave those emails. We will read those emails here live on the show. We will respond to those emails here live on the show. Do that. You can also follow us on Twitter. My name on there is Mr. Underscore Span. You can follow Cliff at DJ Neff 2 on Twitter. You can follow Walt at Walt Lockdown on Twitter. You can follow the show at The Beer and Chicken Pod on Twitter. So that's like, you can hit us all up on Twitter, even the show, by the, like, as its own thing, right? Also, man, go ahead and hit up the website. There you can, you know, you can like listen to the episodes. You can watch, you know, replays of the episodes. You can vote in the polls when we put polls up. We're going to actually start getting into making picks and stuff. So you can go to the website, start looking at our picks, start talking shit to us about our picks and what we said on the show. The whole nine, man. Go to beerandchickenpod.com. It'll take you right to the Beer Chicken Pod website. And you can be a part of the whole experience as far as Beer Chicken Pod is concerned. And for all of your Beer Chicken Pod needs, is right there at that damn website that I was talking about. But
see, and if you want to follow somebody's picks, if you bet money, you know, I'm your man.
I would not advise anybody to be like putting money on Cliff winning any pick championships no time soon. Trust and believe that. Don't do that to yourself. Right. You're gonna lose some money. You're gonna lose some money, baby. You're going to lose some money. So, yeah, we got that going on. And also, man, damn it. You just made me forget what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, man. We are available on iTunes. We are available on Stitcher Radio. We are available on Google Play Music. You can subscribe to the show. And we would very much appreciate, for those of you who listen, to leave us a 5-star review. Those 5-star reviews are the only ones that get read on the show. If you can't leave us 5 stars, then why are you even fucking with us? You know what I'm saying? So, so if you can leave us a 5-star review, we would very much appreciate that. We would read those 5-star reviews on the show. If you don't leave us 5 stars yet, you can leave less than 5 stars. We just ain't going to shout you out on the show, man. Like, we just not going to do it. It's just not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, leave those 5-star reviews, man. It doesn't cost you anything, and it helps the show grow, and it's very much appreciated here at the Beer and Chicken Pod. And, yeah, man, we are still waiting for the homeboy Walt Lockdown to get on. And we thought we kind of worked these out. Like, we had a test run and shit yesterday. And I don't know, man. I'm gonna have to hit Crowdcast up, man. Like, we pay money for this. This shouldn't be happening. Like, real talk, this should not be happening. But we're going to try to get into some of this stuff, man. So, because I know the homie Cliff has some things that he wanted to kind of get into and to debate about. So, Cliff, man, what was on your mind sports-wise this week, man? What did you want to kind of talk about to get off your chest when it came to these sports, man? What's going on?
So, let me read this article. So, I was on, I don't know if you guys have the app, ESPN's app, and, you know, they always give some really good articles. Of course, all sports, but with basketball, I saw this really interesting article on Austin Rivers, right?
Okay.
The header is Austin Rivers has heard it all, and now he's firing back. So basically, this whole entire article is based on if Austin Rivers would have ever gotten to the NBA if it wasn't for his dad, right?
Okay.
They start off, first thing, it says, Austin knows what you think about him, spoiled, cocky, entitled coach's kid. And then the last word says bust. Wow. Right? And honestly, I think I like Austin. I mean, he's not a perennial all-star, but he's decent. He's not a starter, but he's a decent player. You know, he's under his dad.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes to say, people can say whatever they want about me and my father, Doc Rivers. The guard told ESPN during a lengthy interview Wednesday, he said, I get it. I can even put my ego aside and understand why people don't like the situation. When I was growing up, I'd see the coach's son. You'd be like, he sucks. He's only on the team because his dad. A lot of speculation, of course, is around, first of all, after this season, is Doc Rivers going to be the coach? Because the Clippers haven't done anything in, what, 6-7 years? And, you know, when Doc goes, is somebody going to honestly keep Austin Rivers? But my opinion on the situation is this, man. Austin, without a doubt, and I'm not throwing no salt, mm-hmm. He had a shoe in the door already. Okay? He had a shoe in the door. In college, he had game, But this is the NBA, man. And to be a starter on the Clippers, even when Chris Paul was there, man, I mean, he was coming in. They were swapping Austin and, you know, J.J. Redick out. And, I mean, I'm not even a J.J. fan, but the thing is, he definitely gets some privilege because of his dad, you know. And I would do the same. I would do the same, you know, if it was my son. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not knocking him at all. But the fact that a lot of people, you know, are really involved in trying to throw him under the bus, I don't think it's fair, because he definitely, I think he put in his time, and he's doing a damn good job. That's just me, man. That's just me.
Okay. Well, and do you get the speakers out, Cliff?
Who?
I was asking whether or not your speakers was on, because I can hear myself again.
Is that better?
Let's see. Yeah, that's better. Okay. So,
you can still hear me though?
I can still hear you.
Okay,
but,
cool.
But the thing that I would say is that, like, for Austin Rivers, I haven't really paid a hell of a lot of attention to Austin Rivers. I do know that a lot of people have an idea of Austin Rivers as only having an opportunity in the NBA because of his dad. But I also wonder, like, where were those people when Austin Rivers was actually, you know, playing ball up to the point where he was considered a legitimate NBA pick? You know what I'm saying? We kind of talked a little bit about this, like the validity of the guys who be in the league, like when we talked about LeVar Ball and Lonzo Ball and stuff last week. When it comes to Austin Rivers, like the dude was, you know, he wasn't necessarily like one of the top guys that people were talking about as far as being in the league, but he was also one of the guys that people thought would have a shot in the league. Now, whether or not they thought he was going to be a star in the league is something entirely different. You know, I think sometimes the expectations of guys can get the best of, you know, it can get the best of a whole lot of people. Like, you think about the expectations of a kid who had a great player as a father, right? Like, you know, like you think about, say, for instance, Michael Jordan's kids, right? Like Marcus and what's his other son's
Jeffrey.
Name? Jeffrey. Marcus and Jeffrey. Like, can you imagine the amount of pressure that came with, yo, these are Michael Jordan's kids, and they expected Michael Jordan's kids to be like, to ball the fuck out. And we saw what happened to them. Like, neither one of them were like top tier college players. They were decent guys. They were decent players, but they weren't, you know, they weren't actually guys that like people were looking forward to, like, yo, man, these guys are going to be something in the league. It didn't happen. And then you look at somebody like, say, for instance, you know, Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant's dad played in the league, but nobody was expecting, you know, Kobe Bryant to, well, I'll take that back. Kobe Bryant was projected to be better than his daddy. Jelly Bean Bryant wasn't, right? Like, Jelly Bean Bryant wasn't like, hey, man, you ever seen Jelly Bean? No. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it's Kobe Bryant was projected to be better than his daddy. I think sometimes the pressure that comes with being the coach's kid and having a father as prominent as someone like Doc Rivers, who not only was a great player when he played to a certain degree, but was also a good coach, man. Like, we saw what he did with the Boston Celtics. We saw how, like, he brought the Orlando Magic back to relevance when he was coaching there. And, you know, we see what he's like. He's kind of maintained a little bit of, I would say, like, the Clippers haven't necessarily been like great, but they haven't been like, they've been kind of mediocre. Let's just put it like that. They've been mediocre. They haven't been great. They haven't been terribly bad. They've been just sort of in the middle. But, you know, I think, like, there's a certain amount of pressure that comes with just being the coach's kid, that no matter what you do, like, if you're good, then people will say it's because you're the coach's kid. If you're not good and you're still on the team, it'll be because people say you're the coach's kid. You shouldn't be here. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a sort of catch-22 when it comes to that. And, like, I think Austin Rivers may be the victim of that. Like, I honestly think that Austin Rivers would probably have a better opportunity if he went somewhere else, that he probably shouldn't be with the Los Angeles Clippers, that he should probably be on another team to kind of, you know, to kind of, like, I guess to kind of branch out and not be under his dad's wing so much. But that's just, I feel like I'm kind of all over the place with that, but I don't know.
You know what? When it comes to the children of these professional players, regardless of the sport, what about, and I think, and I was thinking about this when you said something about Michael Jordan, his kids.
Yeah.
Archie Manning had three sons, right? He had Peyton, Eli, and then they had like this little dangling kid that wasn't an athlete.
I think he got hurt.
No, he didn't get hurt.
I think he got hurt.
I don't think he got hurt. But the thing is, here you got two sons that are going to be both in the Hall of Fame. And then you got this one over here that's like lagging. You know, is he an exception to the rule that he didn't become an NFL superstar? You know, I think about Steph Curry and his brother, Seth. You know, his brother, he was at Duke.
Yeah.
He was playing for Duke, you know, and Steph Curry played for Davidson, which is a fraction of the school as far as when it comes to the athletic program that Duke has. You know, and I mean, I don't know about you, but when Steph was at Davidson, he's shooting from half court, these long shots and everything. And, you know, Dale was a shooter, but nobody, like you said, just like with Kobe, well, I'm not going to say with Kobe, nobody thought Steph was going to be where he is now. But
no, I don't think when anybody think of that.
Curry, I think of, okay, his dad was a shooter. You know, Steph wanted to, I think he wanted to prove his game better than his dad's game, and, you know, include the handles. Because his daddy wasn't dribbling that ball, you know, that's for sure. So, you know, when I think about Austin, man, I feel bad for him because he is good, but it's true that all the tick that he's getting, I don't know if you've ever watched a Clippers game, man, Austin does what he wants. See, he takes stupid shots when they shouldn't have to. And, you know, any other coach, you take that shot in this point in the game and, you know, you should have passed it or whatever the case is, dude, you're getting benched. You know, so Austin gets favor, period. He does get favor. You know, one part of the article, they're talking about people don't think that he deserves to be in the league. I disagree with that. I think he does have enough talent to be in the NBA. I was thinking about Tim Hardaway Jr. You know, when he was at Michigan, he was a good player, but in the league now, Tim Hardaway Jr., man, he's nice. He's nice. You know, and his daddy, you know, I don't know what Big Tim is, but, you know, did he have any type of influence with Tim Hardaway Jr. being where he is? You know, I'll say yeah, because Tim Hardaway is Tim Hardaway, you know, but as far as the amount of influence that Austin Rivers is getting because his dad is the one calling the shots, two different games, man. So I like Austin, and I think that if he ignores all of the, you know, negative, you know, energy that's coming his way regarding his dad, you know, I think it's going to be something to see when they get rid of Doc, because, you know, people are really probably going to say, look, your dad gone, you know, go get you a office job.
But see, here's the thing, though.
I'm not sure.
Here's the thing. I think that, like, say for instance, if the if ownership felt like, you know, he's giving his son, like, you know, free reign to do whatever he wanted, like, ownership could step in and be like, "Hey, man, look, this ain't what's going on. We can't have this." Like, you, like, ownership could. Now, I'm not sure if ownership would, but they could. You see what I'm saying? So, again, I personally. You know, I've never been a coach's son, right? Like, I've never had to deal with that sort of scrutiny to where, like, everything I do that people are attributing that to me having some sort of connection or some sort of hookup because I'm affiliated or hook, you know, close to who's ever in charge, right? I've never had that sort of. Hold on a second. Here we go. What's up, Walt?
Nepotism, nepotism, nepotism. I don't care how you slice it, nepotism all day long. Now, I agree with Cliff in a certain way. He earned his way to the league because at some point he had to play, you know, amateur ball, college ball, you know, all type. He had to work his way up to the league. He had to get drafted, so you can't take that away from him.
But what?
I would say... I would say his position, he didn't deserve that over Chris Paul. And I think his dad kind of pushed Chris Paul out the door just so he can give his son that position.
Really?
Yes.
But
really?
Of course.
Oh man.
Come on, man. You got you. Why would Chris Paul lead the Clippers?
Because they wasn't winning.
They were okay. They wasn't winning, but when have Chris Paul ever been on a team that was winning?
I'm just saying, like, you would ask for a reason for why Chris Paul wouldn't leave. Like, if Chris Paul had never
because he didn't get along with Doc Rivers. He didn't get along with Doc Rivers. So I can believe that Doc Rivers behind the scene was doing little shit, you know what I'm saying, to kind of push Chris Paul out the door just so he can give his son the opportunity that he wanted him to have. Because he know if he would have went to any other team, if Austin Rivers would have went to any other team, he would not be a starter.
I don't know about that. I would say this. As far as, like, Chris Paul leaving the Clippers, I think Chris Paul left the Clippers because he knew that at a certain point, like, yo, I'm not going to win with this group. You see what I'm saying? Like, I knew he just felt like that. Like, I'm not going to win with this group. So it would make no sense for me to stay here if there's an opportunity for me to go somewhere else and that I can win. Now, whether or not Austin Rivers deserves to have the starting position and in absence of Chris Paul is something entirely different. I don't know. I haven't even watched the Clippers game, so I'm just going to put that out there. I don't know that Austin Rivers maybe deserves a starting position at point guard in the NBA, but I don't necessarily believe that Doc Rivers pushed Chris Paul out, who's a legitimate Hall of Fame point guard after it's all said and done, to put his son in that spot. I don't know if I believe that.
I'm going with that.
I don't know. It just seemed. I mean, all the other players, like the guys you were naming earlier, like the Tim Hardaways, your Steph Currys, all these guys that played, that their father played in the league, you know, they ain't none of their dads the coach.
True.
You understand what I'm saying? Like that's a entirely different dynamic when your dad is the coach, and then your dad so happened to be the coach of the team that you playing for. And then it just so happened that you get a contract that nobody thinks you deserve. That just screams nepotism, bro. It does, no matter how you look at it. And then the starting point guard, we talking State Farm Insurance Man?
Yeah.
Mr. Insurance Man himself decides to up and leave because he couldn't get along with Doc Rivers, and all of a sudden his son is the starting point guard. It screams nepotism, bro.
I'll give you this, right? That the fact that Austin Rivers is starting at point guard may be attributed to nepotism. What I don't necessarily believe is that they pushed Chris Paul out simply to put Austin Rivers there. That part I don't believe.
It probably happened. It wasn't blatant for everybody to see. You understand what I'm saying? I don't think it was blatant for everybody to see, but Doc Rivers ain't just the coach. He is the head of basketball operations, where he was at the time when Austin Rivers got that contract.
You know what, when it comes to Chris Paul,
see,
and the reason why he left, it maybe wasn't, he didn't get strong arm, but you can best believe that, you know, situations like, you know, your dad got a lot of pull, your son got some potential, I'm going to use that loosely, potential, but Chris Paul, you know, who knows, man? I'm not gonna say that was a brutal act that Doc Rivers did, that potentially, but that could have been in the works. I wouldn't negate that at all. But you know, with their salaries that they were paying, they brought on a lot of people. They were paying a lot of money, and to rebuild that team in the way that maybe Doc wants, somebody got to go. And Chris Paul, he was the veteran on the team, one of the oldest players outside of the sixth man, who's gone now.
Jamal Crawford.
Jamal Crawford.
Yeah, Jamal Crawford. Yeah, he left too. You know, so I don't know, but
Chris Paul left a lot of money on the table too. On top of that,
again, I think Chris Paul left for the opportunity to win. I don't think Chris Paul believed that he could win with that team. He had been with the
So you saying Chris Paul, LeBron now?
I wouldn't necessarily call it being LeBron. I'm just saying he felt like, yo, man, like this has run its course. Like we done been to the playoffs. What was the furthest that the Clippers had gone through the playoffs with that core as
it stood? Second round.
Right. Like round. It comes a point in time with like, all right, man, we not gonna do it with this particular core of players. Like even the Bulls to a certain degree started dismantling after it was like, all right, it's clear that we not gonna get to a certain point with this certain group of guys that we got. We may have to start moving guys around to different spots in order for us to get the guys that we do need to get to where we want to go. So what I'm saying is with Chris Paul probably for himself is like, yo, man, here's an opportunity for me to go to another place where I do have an opportunity to win. You also have to take into consideration that Chris Paul is in the latter parts of his career. You know what I'm saying? Like once guys start getting to the latter parts of their career, they're starting to grasp at trying to get to a championship. So if you're looking at the Clippers and you don't see yourself, you don't see this team progressing any further than where it's currently at, which is at most second round of the Western Conference playoffs, and you're looking at a Houston Rockets team who is a legitimate contender in the West, who could possibly knock off the Golden State Warriors if they brought you there, then maybe, just maybe, I'm going to go to this Houston team and see what I can do there.
Okay,
that's understandable.
If you was Chris Paul and your time in the league is coming up, right? You only got 5 years left. You want to get a chip, period. You want to get a chip. And you see this dude playing his son when clearly he don't need to be taking these certain shots or doing whatever. And you like, yo, that's not going to help us win. That's not going to help us win. I'll be ready to go too. Man. And what if it was something that Doc had in the plans, I don't know, so his son can get some more tick, you know? But if I was Chris Paul, you know, at the end of the day, I'm seeing that BS going down. Like, yo, man, why are you putting Austin in? You need to put Jamal in, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. And that's not what he's doing. I'll be rolling too, man. You know, I'll be rolling too. And at the end of the day, you know, the Clippers, they had their chance. And now, you know what? Austin and Doc, they cashing checks. So I ain't hating them. They cashing checks every day.
Off the Clippers. Speaking of Chris Paul.
Hold on, while y'all got me. Before we continue on, man, because you have not really been like introduced to the audience, man. You just kind of like, bam, here I am. Boom!
nepotism.
Right, you come in the door. The first words of Walt Lockdown on the Beer and Chicken Podcast is nepotism. That's going to be a trivia question later on. You may win some money. Let me stop lying. Y'all ain't going to win no money. But yeah,
I was going to say if y'all win some money, stand pan.
Hey man, introduce yourself to the audience, man. Let everybody know where you're coming from, and you know what you plan on bringing to the show, brother.
I am Mr. Walter Lockett, coming from the west side of Detroit, and I'm here to bring nothing but the real and sports talk. You know, for anybody who don't like it, I'm not going to choose sides on this show. I'm not going to play favoritism on this show. I'm not going to do any. I'm not going to be a homer. Just straight objectivity, and that's what I plan to bring to the show, straight objectivity. You know?
Yeah, that's what everybody say. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, I ain't going to pick
it hard, huh?
Yeah, that's what everybody's saying.
Okay, I promise this. I'll bring straight objectivity until you start talking about my Lions and my Pistons. How about that?
See, be real with it. See, you the only
there you go.
You're the only Pistons fan on this show. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta represent for that shit because it's two Bulls fans on this show. It's two Lions.
Yeah, I'm in the show. I'm in here with some Chi-Town boys.
It's only one Bears fan on the show, though. So, like, I'm like a hybrid between the two of you niggas, right? Except for... this nigga liked the Cubs, and I don't know how anybody in their right mind could like the Cubs, but
didn't they just win the World Series not too long ago?
Man, fuck them, man. Like
you gotta give them their props, man.
Man, fuck the Cubs.
You can't hate on them. You gotta give them their props.
Listen.
That's like me being mad the Patriots going back to the Super Bowl.
Hey, Walter.
I gotta give them their props.
Hey, Walter, you from
Michigan. By ever running the Tom Brady in traffic, though. I'm just letting it be known.
Hey, Walter, you from Michigan, right?
I don't care.
No, you from Michigan, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What is it like to be both a Michigan and Michigan State fan?
I am not both.
No, I'm saying, what is it like to be both a Michigan and Michigan State fan? Can you root for both?
No.
Okay, then. So don't you dare fix your fucking mouth to tell me I got to root for the fucking Cubs. Like, I am a, I'm a White Sox, I am a White Sox fan, goddammit. Like, that's just what it is. So if you understand what it is to be in Michigan and you can only be either a Michigan fan or a Michigan State fan, then Cliff also understands to be from Chicago.
I ain't say you had to root for them. I just said you got to give them their props.
I don't have to give them shit, nigga. This ain't charity. I don't This ain't charity. This is fucking fandom, goddammit. So, yeah, man. Walt Lockdown is finally here. On the beer and chicken pie.
Not all the way. Right now my name is Mr. Technical Difficulty.
Hey,
that's my name, Mr. Technical Difficulty. Because for the last couple of weeks, I don't know why, but I just can't get it right, man. We're gonna have to get in touch with these people and find out what's going on.
Figure out what's up
because this is not right.
But check this out though. That thinking on the fly though, like, hey, how does nigga call the hotline though? Like, how?
Hey. I got to get in where I fit in, bro.
Got to get in where you fit in, right? So,
I got to get in where I fit in.
Yeah, man. So, you had something that you kind of wanted to talk about, you wanted to debate about too, man. What was that?
Yes. Well, it can be a debate if you guys make it a debate. I want to ask, is it me or is that suspension? Everybody knows about the fight. The supposedly locker room raid from the Clippers, and when the Rockets and the Clippers played. So supposedly a couple of Rockets players or whatever decided to take a back entrance and try to get into the Clippers locker room. Again, they want Austin Rivers, as we were just talking about earlier, Mr. Rivers, Mr. Controversy himself now. Only two people got suspended out of this whole deal. Mm-hmm. Trevor Ariza and what's his name? I can't even call his name right now. He's pretty much a nobody. But Chris Paul and James Harden was not a part of that suspension. And the story read that Chris Paul and James Harden was not suspended because they never entered the locker room. They stayed in like a corridor in between the locker room while the other two guys went into the locker room. Now, I scream BS on that. I think just because James Harden and Chris Paul are superstars in the league that they weren't suspended, and they kind of concocted that little excuse as a reason not to suspend them. But the other two guys were expendable, and they got two games. Is it me, or did that just say, that just like scream that stardom favoritism that a lot of players in the league get? You know, your LeBrons and your James Hardens and your Westbrooks and all. You know, whenever these guys do something that a normal regular player would do, they get a pass on it. But when a regular player do that, you know, everybody screaming for their head. Now, is it me, or does that just seem fake? Do it seem like those guys, the league came up with excuses not to suspend Chris Paul and James Harden for that?
Yes. That is very true. You know, typically the person that's going to take the fall is going to be that nobody, because nobody cares about them. James Harden, Chris Paul,
yeah,
face of the NBA, man. You don't go down the highway and see you don't see none of these dudes. It's only about what, seven players in the league that you can name off the top of your head that are the face of the NBA. And guess what? Ariza, he's a good player, but he's just an extra. So no, that's all politics. And at the end of the day, I guarantee you, if it was to happen again, it'd be different. But I did you guys see the whole fight though with Blake and with Chris Paul and all that?
No, I didn't.
It was so weak. Like, Blake wanted a foul. All right, he goes to the bucket. Chris Paul basically, I don't even think Chris Paul fouled him, honestly. But The ball goes out of bounds. Everybody's going back down to the other side. Blake walks toward the ref yelling, and what's the coach for the
hold on, I'm about to pull this video up now. I'm about to pull the video up now so we can see so we can all check it out.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Mike D'Antoni. Blake Griffin hit Mike D'Antoni.
He was yelling at Blake Griffin.
So let me
and it's just like, man, they fighting over nothing. And they're not even fighting. That's the thing. It's just, I don't even know what to call it, man. It's so weak nowadays. And I think we were talking about it yesterday, man. How, you know, all these dudes. Oh, here you go.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to share this video here now so you guys check it out.
Paul got in the way and knocked it away. That's loose. And it was out of bounds.
Potential 5-point play here, and swing.
Well, now we got some Paul and Griffin words.
Looked like there was an elbow there at the end of that play there from Blake on that and one. And they kind of been jawing this whole game.
Paul picks up his second personal foul. And the officials led by veteran Mike Callahan and Benny
and Austin Rivers having words over here. Wednesday, February 28th is the next time these two teams. Here's a potential play here.
Okay, the audio started going bad on that damn video. I'm not going to continue to play that. But you got a chance to see what some of that skirmish was before, I guess, the locker room fight that supposedly happened in Los Angeles. Yeah. That was kind of
weird. You know what? That one wasn't really a fight.
It wasn't.
These other fights that happened, like the one with
Aaron Aflalo took a swing at old boy and missed it. I mean, what was that? I forget what team that was when Aaron Aflalo swung at him and he put him in the headlock.
Yes.
Y'all ain't see that?
No, I didn't see that either.
Y'all gotta check that one out. It was hilarious. Aaron Aflalo swung on old boy. And old boy just put him in the headlock like a little brother. It was funny, man. You gotta see it.
And the other one, which I thought was super weak, was the Ben Simmons and the Kyle Lowry. You know, they exchange words, and this dude looks at him while they're walking to their benches and said, "Meet me in the hallway." And they run back towards, you know, in the back. I'm like, who does that? Who actually, you know, that was kind of gay. I'm not gonna look at you like, yo, meet me in the hallway. Come on, man.
Well,
that is some gay. Oh my god.
I'll say this, man. I'll say this, bro. Like, as far as the guys who didn't necessarily get suspensions, like, y'all think it's a conspiracy because they stars, right? I don't know if I believe that. I'm just going, I guess I'm just like the contrarian of the show tonight, because I don't know if I necessarily.
You got to be the contrarian. You got to be out here. You go ahead.
I don't know. And the only reason why I say that is because it's not as if these are like playoff games that are on the line and they need to save these dudes in order for them to have this marquee guys on the floor for the game. Like, these are regular season games in January. Like, at a certain point, like, although we talk about every game, you know, counting in the NBA, it's like, yo, they play 82 of these motherfuckers. Like, if they were missing for two of these games in the middle of the season, I don't know if anybody's like, yo, man, what the fuck, man? You're killing our playoff fucking chances. I don't think anybody's thinking that when it comes to the Rockets right now. And so for the fact that Chris Paul and James Harden didn't get suspended, I don't know necessarily if it's because they're stars or whether or not the actual event didn't play out in where they were actually antagonists in this whole thing. So while y'all were talking about it, I kind of pulled this story up. This one, this comes out of, the New York Times. And they basically said that, like, let me go to the part. It says players on both sides acknowledged during post-game interviews that at least some aspects of the reports were true, But in a statement announcing the suspensions, Kiki Vandeweghe, the NBA's executive vice president of basketball operations, said that an investigation had been conducted with more than 20 interviews and said that he had determined that Green and Ariza entered the locker room by themselves, engaging in a verbal hostile altercation with Clippers players. Paul and Harden arrived later, and since they worked to defuse the situation, the league did not feel that their actions warranted discipline. In comments made to the Houston Chronicle, Vandeweghe said that Clippers players and Staples Center staff members corroborated accounts stating that Harden and Paul were merely acting as peacemakers. Vandeweghe also said that Capella's role in the incident was a complete fabrication, as security camera footage showed that Capella never approached locker room doors. So the way that the NBA is trying to put it out here, if this is to be believed, is that, like, the reason why Chris Paul and James Harden didn't get any suspensions was because they were actually trying to defuse the situation going on in the locker room. What y'all think about that?
You want to take this clip? I'll take it first.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to say that Chris Paul being the president of the Players Association and James Harden being the supposed leader of that team, or one of the leaders of that team, Why did they wait till? I mean, none of us are there, so we can't say, you know, exactly what's going on. But why would they wait till those dudes get to the locker room? You know, first of all, they got to go through a back channel to get to the locker room. It's not like they went to the door. They got to go through a back channel, and then on top of it, who was it? Clint, was it Capella that went to the front door for to cause a diversion or whatever? So Capella goes to the front door, and these players go to the back door. So you mean to tell me that Chris Paul being who he is in this league and James Harden being who he is to that team couldn't have stopped or talked some sense into those guys or stopped those players before they actually even attempted to go over there?
Well,
because from the way it was described when the initial incident went down was that the whole team was basically on some old, let's go over here and holler at them boys. You see what I'm saying? So why would you wait until these guys, knowing what the consequences is, now granted they grown men, but why would you wait for these guys to leave the locker room, take the back way, go to the opposing team's locker room, and then get in there? Now you want to come defuse it? You should have defused it when you seen them getting ready to go commit the act. So I'm not saying that Chris Paul and James Harden, they might not have deserved the suspension, but it's just like your mom did when you was a kid, man. When you and your little brother was outside playing and your brother got into some funky shit, you got in trouble too because your mama like, you the oldest.
No, but that was
tough. You understand what I'm saying?
But that was fucked up too. Let's
so, like, I think a fine or something was in some kind of order for them. They can't just walk away scot-free and at the end of the day, they were just being peacemakers. I don't buy that.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Here's the thing, the peacemaker thing.
Here's the thing, though, Walt. Like, you even mentioned, like, Capella being one of the antagonizers of this whole thing when they're talking about video surveillance and showing Capella wasn't even a part of that shit. You see what I'm saying? So, like, some of the narrative as to what actually happened in that particular story might not actually add up to what actually happened. You see what I'm saying? So, like, you know, even the talk about, well, you know, they knew that he was going, why didn't James Harden or Chris Paul intervene before anything happened? Hey, we don't necessarily know that they knew that anything was happening before it went down. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's been plenty of times when some shit popped off, like, and Cliff, you can attest to this. Hold on, why you got your fucking face screwed up? We have been out at a party, right? When some shit went down with niggas in our group, right? I might not have been around to intervene in shit because I don't know what the fuck is happening. Correct? Correct? So are you going to dare?
Yeah.
No, I'm asking Cliff because Cliff know what the hell I'm talking about. There have been times where some shit popped off and everybody isn't necessarily aware of what's going down. So then you can't then therefore on the back end be like, well, shit, he should have intervened. Like, how the fuck can I intervene if I don't know what the hell's happening? You know what I'm saying? So, like, if I find out on the back end, like, yo, what they over there doing? And then I go over there and try to, like, yo, like, man, what, hold on, man, get the fuck away from here. We, like, you fucking up the money, you fucking up the potential for this win streak we may have going on, whatever. Like, if I go over there and then try to become a peacemaker in the event, like, you can't then say, well, why didn't you stop it beforehand if I didn't have any clue that it was about to happen right then? That's all I'm saying. But go ahead, Cliff, because I know you itching to say something right now.
No, I think two different situations, man. No, you're right. You're right. What you talking about, Twan, is you got to be in the, you know, if
homecoming O2, my nigga, homecoming O2.
And we're all at the club together, and I go to the bar and get a drink, and you guys on the other side of the club, and you guys end up getting into a fight. Well, that's different. We're talking about, here we had a situation on the basketball court where, first of all, you got two players who have some history, and clearly they might not like one another right now. I don't know. But the game's over. Everybody's going to the locker room. It's heated because of what happened in the third quarter or whenever it was. And they're like, man, yo, if I see them dudes, it's on. They knew. Chris Paul, you the leader of the team. Everybody listens to Chris because he's a vet.
He's also new to that team, though.
Chris knew, and everybody knew, you know. And especially people that was, I'm not going to say everybody knew, the people that was involved in the little skirmish, they knew. Chris knew. Trevor knew. And you could believe that everybody else that was, that you know, was headed to the locker room, that was in the vicinity of them, they knew too. You know, in situations like that, no, they was all together. And you know what? It's unfortunate that, you know, Trevor took the hit and the other homie who was less than Trevor, he took a hit. You know, he going to feel that worse than them because they got bread. But, you know, Chris knew. And James Harden, I'm not going to say James Harden shouldn't have got fined or suspended, but they came to them. You know, Chris and them went into their space. You know, if you come to my crib, yo, it's whatever happens when you come in is the consequence. So I wouldn't even have thought about suspending James Harden because he was minding his business at the end of the day.
Okay. So Chris, I guess
was not.
Okay,
that
so
was premeditated, man.
So you think Chris Paul may have instigated what happened there because of his history with the Clippers?
I wouldn't necessarily say instigated, because, but he ain't trying to defuse it either.
Because, like, you know, I think there's a common thread here where, like, we talk about, like, say, for instance, you were talking about Austin Rivers and, you know, maybe they possibly pushed Chris Paul out of the Lakers and now, I mean, not the Lakers, but the Clippers. And then he comes back for his first game against the Clippers in L.A. And there'd be some acrimony there to where you would think that Chris Paul would instigate or –
It's something there, Span.
I would say the only reason why I would be hesitant to say that is because of who Chris Paul is in the league. When you talked about earlier about Chris Paul being the actual leader of the Players Association, he's the president of the Players Association. Chris Paul also understands what the ramifications of doing that kind of shit could mean. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, why would he therefore lead other players into a skirmish that could cost them money and cost them games? You see what I'm saying? Like, him being the Players Association president, I don't necessarily know if he's doing that sort of shit, then maybe he should lose that position. But I'm having a hard time believing that, though.
Look,
how long has he held? How long has he had that position for? A while now.
Yes, but
so maybe you know it's time for them to look at something. But my question is this: Mike D'Antoni, what role does he play in all this as the head coach? Some of the owners got to fall on him at some point, right?
Maybe.
I mean, for your players to leave your locker room and go to the opponent team locker room, like,
I don't
know. The head coach ain't got nothing to say about that?
I will say this. All of these niggas are grown men, right? All of these motherfuckers know exactly.
Yeah, but they
– all. Hey.
But Mike D'Antoni, like, a grown man that can pay millions of dollars to basically, like – I don't want to use the term babysit, but to keep these boys in line.
Fuck that. Nah, like, you know, like, if you at this point in your fucking career, and you know that you going into that locker room is going to cost you money, it's going to cost you games, you ain't about to sit up and be like, but what about the coach, though? Nah, nigga, at this point, man, it's like, yo, man, take responsibility for the shit that you out here doing, man. Like, ain't no way in hell I'm about to go in here try to scrap somebody in, like, on the back end, like, hey, man, but my coach didn't try to stop me, though. Like, nah, man.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that the that the coach should, you know, be 100% totally at fault here. But I do think that a look should be given his way. You know, if you're the owner of the team and this type of stuff makes the news and his headlines, I mean, this was the last week, all the fighting in the NBA, man, that, like, especially that incident, you know, that was in the news for like 2-3 days. And if you were the owner of the team, you looking at Coach like, Coach, man, what's up? You can't keep these boys in check? You understand what I'm saying?
I mean altercations happen.
Because at the end of the day, they all millionaires. All of the players, they're all millionaires. So you're right. They feel like they entitled. They can do what they want to do or whatever the case may be. But that's what the head coach is there for.
Well, ultimately, the head coach is there to, like, do the X's and O's and write up motherfucking, like, strategy and everything else. At a certain point, like,
but he also is there to be that's if, like saying a football coach is there just for X's and O's.
They're
there to be a leader of men. You can have all the X's and O's in the world, but if you can't lead these guys, don't mean nothing.
If these guys were college players, I would agree with you whole fucking heartedly. But these ain't fucking college players. These are grown-ass fucking men making millions of goddamn dollars, and they know what the fuck is on the line when they go into another locker room. If you walk off the fucking bench during a fight, during a game, you know your ass is getting suspended. What the hell do you think is going to happen if you then go like, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to just meet them in the locker room? You know what's going to happen. So at some point, you got to be like, you know what, man? If I get suspended or if I lose some money, or if they decided they want to take like $20,000 or $40,000 or however much money they took from them, if they decided that they want to suspend them for a couple games because of what happened, you already know that going in, man. But you decided at that particular point that that's worth it for you.
It don't matter.
To go into that fucking room and like, yo, I want to scrap with this nigga. This $40,000 that I'm about to lose is worth it for me to knock this motherfucker
out. It's worth knocking this nigga out. Like, hey, it'd be fucked up if you get knocked out and still got to pay the $40,000.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. It's like, I don't know if you can hold the coach accountable for some shit like that.
You remember, we talked in the 80s when, was it Rick Mahorn? He had hit Larry Bird. I think he took out Larry Bird. The next game, Robert Parrish, 1 minute into the game.
Undercutting him.
Yes! Yeah. That was he went to the game knowing. He probably told the wife, yo, we ain't getting this $20,000 tonight because when I get on the court, I'm cleaning him out.
I'm laying his ass out.
The thing is, does that still happen today? Yes.
No, but the point is, like, what I'm pushing back on here with Walt is that he's trying to, like, you know, he started talking about what Mike D'Antoni's, you know, culpability may be. And I'm saying, like, yo, man, this dude made this decision on his own. These are grown men who know damn well what the hell they doing. Like, I don't necessarily know if Robert Parrish does that, are you holding Casey Jones responsible for what Robert Parrish did? Or are you holding Robert Parrish responsible for what Robert Parrish did?
Yeah, no, I'm holding Robert Parrish responsible for it. Robert Parrish just was premeditated.
This fight was premeditated, though,
right? Let's get that out of the way.
Like, hey, I'm going to see this motherfucker. I'm going to this locker room.
Robert Parrish is premeditated.
This shit is premeditated too, though. Like, I'm going to this locker room.
I mean, I'm saying, like, Robert Parrish had that in his mind the day before. He knew the next time they play. You know what I'm saying? Like, this all stemmed from the court. And I think it all could have been nipped in the bud a little sooner than bottom line to the whole thing.
Oh shit!
Anybody who left that locker room,
hey, yeah, off, yeah. Hang
now we talking?
Phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Hang the phone up. Hang the phone.
Hold on.
check one, check two.
You on, man? We can hear you.
check one, check two.
We can hear you, man. Just hang that damn phone up.
Check one, check two.
Okay, let me go.
There we go.
Let me hang up. Shit.
In case y'all ain't noticed, I've been over here working.
There you go, man. We finally got this nigga on the screen, y'all. Where is my fucking?
All that stemmed from the court, man. Like, put it on the court and it spilled over to the locker room. And all I'm saying, at the end of the day, I think Chris Paul and I think James Harden shouldn't have walked away scot free from that, because you don't believe that that they had no role to play in that. Not that. They had something to do with that.
Well, the league is saying that they acted as peacemakers in that particular altercation. Whether or not that is the actual truth, I don't know if we will ever really know because none of our asses was there. But that is what it is, man. Now,
right, can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine, bro.
Okay, we good. We good money now. All right, that's good. What's up.
Damn, all you niggas with, like, this nigga wearing Piston shit, this nigga wearing bear shit. Like, man,
You're damn right.
Like, hold on, let me hold on.
Oh, whatever. Don't be bringing that in here.
Hold on. Like, I really just feel like.
Well, there'll be a monkey's bare assed uncle.
Just.
You said I can't hear you, Juan.
Oh, no?
Well, there'll be a monkey's bare assed uncle.
Oh, shit, man. So, let's see. What else? The NFC and AFC championship games were today, man. Did y'all catch those games? What did y'all think of them?
Well, yes.
Before the show started, I went upstairs to check the score that Minnesota and Philly game. That wasn't even fair, if you ask me. That's not even a playoff game. That's not a playoff score either. Yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ, it was 30.
Oh, my God.
It was like 30-something to 7, man.
Yeah, man, it looked like Philly, like, they beat the brakes off the fucking Vikings, man. It's going to be a Philly-New England Super Bowl.
And what did I say last week? I said, dude, celebrating too early, man.
Who was celebrating too early? Who was that?
The dude on Minnesota who caught the ball to take him to this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Celebrate too early, man.
Well, I said last week on that, though, like, I felt like at that particular moment in time, they thought they was dead to rights in that game. And for that to happen, for them to get lucky in that way, I can't necessarily begrudge a motherfucker for being happy for what happened to move on to another round, especially when you consider how people – When you consider how people celebrate in different sports, man. Like, when you talk about baseball, man, these motherfuckers celebrate just to get to the playoffs. These motherfuckers is popping bottles and got t-shirts and hats and shit just for winning a division. They don't even make it to the World Series. They don't even make it to the ALCS or the NLDS, and they already got their fucking bottles popped and their champagnes uncorked and all of that shit. So, like, in that particular moment, I can't say that I begrudge the dude for feeling good in that moment. Like, yo, man, I can't believe what the fuck just happened. We moving on.
I hear you, but you know what?
Me. What about this?
Can you hear me?
I can now. Go ahead. Say what you're saying.
Okay. No, I hear you. In baseball, you know, they don't celebrate. You know, I'm not going to say they don't celebrate. What I'm saying is, you know what? Your team hasn't made it to the, you know, divisional championship game. Well, the NFC championship game in so long. Yo, I'm just saying, we need some of these guys act like they've done won it all. They won it all. And it's like, yo, you gotta bring it down. So and look what happened.
So did you say
look
that?
What happened.
So hold on. Did you say that when the Cubs won the NL Central?
Did I say what?
When the Cubs won the National League Central, did you say these motherfuckers celebrating too much right now?
I said, until they win the World Series, I'm not celebrating.
No, you not celebrating. No. Follow what I'm saying. Follow what I'm saying. I didn't say whether or not you.
You know why? You know why, Twan? Because if I'd have done that, you'd have been the first person to be like, y'all ain't won shit in 100 years. And I'd be like, yep, I'm going to keep my mouth closed.
Yo, you missing my point,
bring
bro.
It home. Period.
You are totally missing my point. I said, when the Cubs won the National League Central Division, did you say they celebrating too hard right now?
If they won right now.
No. When they won the NL Central, when they won that bitch, did you say they celebrating too hard right now that they ain't won shit? Or did you like, yo.
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yes.
I don't believe you.
Yes.
I don't believe you. You know how long it took for us to get that answer out of you right now?
I don't believe in me. I don't believe in me.
I promise you.
I don't believe you, dog.
I was like, good job, boys, but we ain't done.
I don't believe you.
There's people like you in the world that I had to listen to, okay?
So, I don't believe you, dog.
It's people like you. And that's real.
You say that, man. We don't believe
we
you.
We won, but they celebrate too much. I don't like that.
Yeah, these niggas, man, they got the... Like he didn't go get his divisional championship shirt and shit. fuck out of here, man.
Look, man. Look, you can't put the horse before the carriage. Man.
I agree. I agree. I'm just busting your balls right now. And we probably need to refresh that screen, man, because I'm getting an echo.
It's an echo, yo.
Yeah, refresh the screen. Hold on, let me refresh mine too.
You want me to refresh my screen? Refresh mine too.
And we're back.
Oh boy. Well, I don't know, man.
And I'm still getting an echo.
The score of the game tonight really shows that Minnesota did not deserve to go to this game, period. That's just me.
Well, I mean, nobody shit. I don't know if you could say necessarily. I don't know if you could say they didn't deserve it, man. They went fucking 13-3, man, and they won. They won the playoff game in front of them.
Talk about what happened in the game, yo.
What happened in the game was they won. They won the game. Like you keep talking about this deserve shit. Like this shit ain't about deserve, man. It's like what the results are on the field, bro. You keep talking this deserve shit, man. Like what they deserve. Yeah. Like yo, they deserve what happened on the field.
You know what? I would be saying that too if I was a fan of a losing team. So I wish you. So at the end of the day, my thing is
you are the fan of a losing team, man. Y'all only won one fucking World Series in 110 years, nigga. Don't act brand new. Like they've been losing most of your life, nigga. Like most of everybody's life. Like you don't act brand new, dog. Jesus Christ. This nigga going one championship in 110 years and suddenly they've been like perennial winners. Man, get the fuck out of here, man. Stop that.
Listen, I'm on a mind state that it's a couple of teams.
When the Sox won, I was just like, whoop-de-doo.
Good for you,
nigga. A lot of people celebrating Chicago. Yeah, everybody got
nigga, we was the same way when the Cubs won.
Everybody lives south of 31st. That's it.
That's cool.
And west of the Dan Ryan.
That's cool.
And nobody else in Chicago celebrating.
That's cool. We don't need you motherfuckers, man. We don't. Stay
y'all. Y'all even have a, did you guys have a, I'm trying to think. This was 05, y'all won. I don't even know. I was in the Ville, so.
At that time, man, we had thrown more World Series than y'all had won, man. So I'm just saying, just stop that.
it's always, and it's cool. I like that. It's motivation.
Hey, but if you're talking about losing teams, man, your Bears is at home with my Lions right now.
They are.
Agreed.
So there you go.
Everybody's talking to you about that one.
Eagle,
the Bears at home with my Lions right now. Matter of fact, everybody's team is at home except for the fucking Philadelphia Eagles and the damn New England Patriots, man. So I gotta ask y'all, man, who y'all got in the Super Bowl?
Well, I'm a Tom Brady fan. I've been a Brady fan since we just talked about this the other day, since he was in Michigan. So at the end of the day, I've been saying that they would go win it this year again, and anybody want to put up a dollar? I'm down. That's all I'm saying.
So you got the Patriots in the Super Bowl, correct? You got like a spread? You got like a point spread? What do you think the end result is going to be?
You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you, nigga.
Yeah, you made the pick.
I'm giving the Patriots the game by 7 points.
7 points. So like you ain't got no score
seven
or nothing.
7 points.
Okay. What about you, Walt? How you feeling about the Super Bowl, man?
All right, I want to make sure y'all can hear me. Can y'all hear me clear?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right. I am the biggest Patriot hater on the planet, okay? It don't get no bigger than me, bro. Yeah, I get it. Tom Brady went to Michigan and all that. But for the past 13 years, I've lived in New England, and I've had to deal with them obnoxious-ass New England Patriot fans. They worse than Cowboys fans, believe it. But listen, I got to say, I'm picking the New England Patriots for the first time in my life to win the Super Bowl. I'm tired of going against these boys, man. I am tired of being – now, just because I pick these bum-ass niggas, they lose. Watch they lose. Watch they lose just because I picked them. But I'm going with the Patriots to win 27-14, man. I got no faith in Nick Foles in the Super Bowl, man, because they're going to do Nick Foles the same way they just did Blake Bortles tonight. And at the end of the day, what it all boils down to is experience. I mean, if you look at the Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl last year, the Falcons was up. Everybody thought the game was over. Here come Belichick and Brady on their bullshit. You see what I'm saying? Same thing with earlier. The Jaguars had them down. Here come what Belichick do. He said, watch this. Let's put some pressure on that young ass quarterback and make him win this game. You see what I'm saying? And I don't see Foles doing no better than Bortles, man. So I'm picking the Patriots 27-17. And I'm being generous giving Philly 17 points, especially without Carson Wentz in the lineup. I'm being generous giving them 17 points, but I got faith in the rest of them boys, the offense and the defense, to at least get them 17 points. But I'm picking the Patriots to win for the first time ever.
Okay. Okay. So it looked like it's two Patriots picks, right? Let me be.
I just shocked the world. Anybody who know me listening to this, I just shocked the world, bro.
Let me be the contrarian motherfucker yet again. The Eagles is winning this motherfucking Super Bowl, and I'm going to tell you why, goddammit. The motherfucking Minnesota Vikings had the number one defense in the NFL this season, and they just obliterated that shit. So if you think that Bill Belichick's defense, who has a good defense, by the way, but even with Nick Foles being behind center as opposed to Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, he pretty much broke down that whole fucking Minnesota thing, that whole Minnesota defense. He was very efficient in tonight's game, bro. And I don't think he's getting enough credit where it's due as far as him being able to step into that offense and to keep them going almost without a fucking, without a drop off in performance. And I think that it's time, man. Everybody is on this, this Patriot thing. Like, I will never jump on that bandwagon, my nigga. It's never going to happen for me, my nigga. I am never picking the motherfucking Patriots in the goddamn Super Bowl. I will always pick against them some bitches because I ain't never liked these motherfuckers. And I will ride out. I will ride out with this. So I'm going to pick the Philadelphia Eagles to win the Super Bowl this year, 31-10. Boom.
31 to what?
10.
Would you sure that's beer you drinking on over there, bro?
No, I upped it, man. I'm drinking some Jack tonight, goddammit.
Okay, I got a little crown in my glass, so I know I picked the Patriots. I got a little crown in my glass next to this beer. Something else other than beer you on over there. Talking about 30. What was the score you just called?
31-10.
Okay. Eagles. Gave the Patriots 10 points.
I gave the Patriots 10
points. Cliff, holler at your man. Cliff, holla at your man.
31-10 Eagles, 10 points. Nigga. You heard it here first, nigga. You heard it here first.
Let me say this.
Hot take.
Man, okay, Span, look, Span, hold on, Cliff. Span. I'm gonna make it a little if the Eagles hold the Patriots to 10 points, bro.
Uh-huh.
24 rack on me. Whatever beer you drink.
Oh shit, okay.
Hey, hold on. And I second that.
Oh, nigga, 50, like, what was that? 48 brews? Y'all about to stock up the Span Cave, my niggas. This is about to be epic, man. This is about to be epic.
The Patriots score, if the points are less, they can't score no more than 10. If they score 10 points or less, 24 rack on me, bro.
Yes. I
can't see Brady and Belichick scoring 10 points in the Super Bowl and losing? Not happening. If they score 10, Philly scoring 3, period.
I can see it. The Super Bowl is February 4th. Am I right? Super Bowl is February 4th?
February 4th.
Okay.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why I say that the Patriots are only going to score 10 points is because Gronk is scheduled, is slated right now to be out. Okay. So if he's back by then, maybe they score more than 10, but I don't see it still. Because Gronk got hurt in that game.
Yeah.
So
Gronk did get hurt today. So I didn't take that into consideration. So but
Gronk,
he'll
is
be back.
One of his, Gronk is one of his more effective weapons. And if you take one of his most effective weapons away, I don't know if he's going to be able to do it, man. Especially as hot as the Philadelphia Eagles have been lately on offense, to be able to keep the ball away from that New England offense, yeah, man, I can see them winning 31-10. You heard it here first.
Fine. You know what? I get it. You just dislike the Patriots.
That too.
That
also goes into my evaluation, yes.
Right. But you also have to think within reason, and you're making emotional decisions.
No.
I'm going to go buy you a bra and some panties.
Well. I'm going to say this, Cliff. I resent your misogynistic motherfucking remark right there. And it will not be fucking tolerated, asshole. You can buy me whatever the fuck you want, but really what you need to be buying is that 24-pack of brews that you're going to be coming off of when these motherfucking Eagles win 31-10. That's what you need to be doing. Now,
making me regret my kick.
We got our new segment, man. We got a new segment that we're going to introduce tonight, man. We got our Winging It section, man, where all three of us have gotten one topic on sports that's been kind of been like in our craw for the last week, man. So I'm going to give these guys 2 minutes to rant with no motherfucking interruptions. 2 minutes to rant on the sports thing that's on their mind this week. So, Cliff, you go first. What you winging it on tonight?
You know what? I'm winging it on this. Walt, you said something, I think it was the other day, about the highest paid quarterback in the league right now, right? And that's Stafford, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something on Facebook that had quarterbacks that got $100 million contracts that never won a playoff game. They never won a playoff game. And to me, first of all, I ain't mad at nobody getting bread. Get that money. But that's ridiculous, man. That's ridiculous. These dudes are getting $100 million contracts, and they are not even winning. They're not even winning. And you know what? Just as much as you hate the Pats, I hate Dallas. And I can't stand they old quarterback. And for me, the fact that these dudes are getting so much money and they're not producing, they're not taking the team to the next level. You know, back in the day before you got $100 million or even close to $100 million, you had to win. You had to win. And you had to win a lot. It wasn't like a season.
You still wasn't getting that much money back in the day.
Hey, Walt.
Exactly.
It's not a debate.
You don't even need to win a playoff game. And you can get a $100 million contract. I call 100% BS. And if that's the case, throw me the rock. I'm getting this $100 million contract myself. Y'all.
Are you done? You still had time left, my nigga.
I don't need much time.
Okay, you know, there you go.
I'm good, but you know.
Cliff Wing.
I don't need much, but I'm gonna transition over to the NBA for a second.
Okay.
I read the other day that LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers, everybody know that they've been lately, they little struggles or whatever. And you know, LeBron James being the greatest player of this generation. Hands down, I don't care what nobody say. I'm the biggest LeBron hater in the world, but once again, I'm going to keep it objective. And the guy is, I won't give him all time, but I'll definitely give him the best player of this generation.
Okay.
And he called out his teammates and basically said that if the playoffs was to start right now, I'm paraphrasing, if the playoffs was to start right now, that they'd be bounced out in the first round. I think we had this discussion before amongst just us three in a private conversation when I was talking about how he's constantly putting his guys down and telling his guys that they're not good enough. Cleveland the first time, He did it when San Antonio blew them out in five games in the finals, and he departed from Miami to go back to Cleveland. And now, once again, because he can't get over the Golden State Warriors that constantly just, you know, they're constantly in his face and he can't win championships as easy as he would like, he's putting his teammates down the base that they're not good enough. I think LeBron James is wrong, and I think it screams an old man that's kicking and screaming on his way out. You know, granted, like, he's been doing this all this time over the years, but at this point in time, the way he's holding the team hostage and won't let them know whether, hey, okay, I plan on re-signing. If I re-sign, then, you know, if LeBron James tell him that he's going to re-sign, well, they can make some trades and do some things to get him some players. Basically, what was happening is, I said that to say all this, he's holding Cleveland hostage the same way he did the first time he left. And at this point, I think his championship run is up. And our fans out there, I'm sorry, but your man's – nobody's going to want to play with him now. After he calls out all his teammates and after he tell all his teammates at the end of the day that they're not good enough, I don't think nobody that's worth any kind of fame or stardom, I don't think nobody's going to want to come and play with him now. So for all you Brian fans, y'all got y'all three rings. Your time is up. Sorry for you. And I'm out.
All right. I was just getting ready to ding your ass too. Like, nigga, like they doing the debates. Like, the red bell is ringing. The red lights are on. No, man, you know what? I'm going to take it to not in the actual games, but in the virtual world, man, like sports video games, man. So, as you know, some of y'all, man, y'all may have come up during the time, man, where, like, sports video games were, like, the shit, right? Like, we all kind of came up during the time with, like, NBA Live and then transitioned to NBA 2K and Madden and NCAA football and whatever else, right? I am of the mindset that I would love for the college football game to be available again. Only let 2K Sports make that motherfucker and not EA Sports, right? Because, like, think about this, man. 2K Sports was making the best fucking sports game. As a matter of fact, the best football game at the time that the NFL decided to get an exclusive license with with Electronic Arts, right? And it totally, like, locked out any other game producers from making NFL licensed games. But that did leave open the opportunity for the NCAA to let another publisher make those games. But the lawsuit that happened with what's my man name, Ed O'Bannon, and the likeness of the players and the players not receiving any compensation for their likeness in these games, it kind of, like, it shut it out. So EA Sports, like, you know what, fuck it, we're not going to make any more of these sports video games no more. We're not going to have the college game anymore. And to be quite honest, the college football game, even when you compare Madden to NCAA football, I preferred NCAA football over Madden. Bottom line, I thought it was a better game. I thought it was more I thought it was more motherfucking engrossing. I thought you had better offense. Well, not necessarily better offense. You had a whole hell of a lot more options on offense than you have on a structured NFL, in a structured NFL offense. Like, it was more wide open in the college game. And I think that EA Sports, I'm sorry, I think that 2K would have done a very motherfucking good job of making a good college football game. Now, that comes back into the compensation for these players, right? If you're going to use the likenesses of these players in these games, then these players should get should be able to receive a portion of the profits from those games. And if you're not going to allow these players to make portions of the profits of these games, then don't block these players from making any sorts of endorsement money from any other opportunities that may come their way. It should be available. Like, these players should be able to make money off of their ability. They should be able to make money off of their likeness. And the NCAA shouldn't be fucking around with their eligibility or their ability to profit off of their talent. And it shouldn't be you get this 4 years or 2 years or 3 years of free labor and, like, exposure and money off of this player's labor. And you say, well, they get a college education for it. When, truth be told, we know these kids aren't necessarily being educated in the ways in which these schools are saying that they are. So yeah, man, I want a damn college football game, and I want the NCAA to get on it, and I want these motherfuckers to like pay these players, and I want this game to come out, cause yo, I don't even like Madden no more. I don't even like Madden no more. Like I tried to, I got Madden 17 and 18, and I'm like, man, what the fuck is this, bro? Like I can't even get into it no more. Like it does nothing for me no more, bro. I want the college game back. I want to be able to play as Tennessee State University on a college football game, bro. I want to be able to play put myself as the cornerback of Tennessee State University and have like 30 fucking interceptions, man. Like I want to get back to that. Can we get back to that? That's what I'm rooting for, man. That is what I wanted to rant on, man. I want to play the fucking college football games again on my Xbox or my PlayStation, whichever one.
So I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you. And you know what? To add to that, man, I agree with you. But I want to say something about that 2K, and then I'm gonna let it go. I stopped playing 2K, man, because I'm not paying for all that VC, bro.
Me too.
You can't even play 2K no more without buying VC, man. These dudes is playing 2K, man. They buying VC on the first day to get their players up to like 99, man. You can't even play with dudes in the park no more unless you got. I'm not buying 2K, but football, I think 2K will do an excellent job on football. But you tripping talking about you tired of Madden though. But yeah. I ain't gonna even get that's for another show.
Madden been trash for a long
time.
Madden been trash for a long time because they don't have anybody to compete against. They just put the same shit. They keep putting the same thing out, man. They don't have anybody to compete against. That's the whole reason. The entire reason why they shut out 2K Sports, because 2K was actually cutting into that whole lead that Madden had as far as the actual players, or not even the actual players, but the video game players. Like, people had a choice. Now you don't have a choice if you want to play an NFL game. It's Madden or nothing.
Nothing. Amen to that, bro.
I think the reason why you're so mad at Madden is because you was trash, yo. Like, I think
that. I knew that was coming.
Hold on.
I knew that was coming. I knew it was coming.
This was a nigga who never beat me at nothing on the fucking sticks. So, like, don't even pay this nigga no mind. You never beat me at nothing on the sticks. Stop it. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
He ain't denying it.
We got to get out of here, y'all. We got to get out of here, man. So before we do, let the people know how they can get in touch with y'all, man, here at the Beer and Chicken Pie. Walt, I want you to go first.
At Walt Lockdown on Twitter. Walt Lockett on Facebook. Mr. Dot Lockett 81 on Instagram. Get at me.
All right, Cliff, you too.
Instagram is 4_fifths, and on Twitter is DJ Left
2. All right, man. And of course, y'all know how to get at me, man. It's Mr_Span on Twitter and Instagram. Follow the show's Twitter on Beer and Chicken Pod. I'm sorry. See, I'm still trying to get all of this shit together. At Beer and Chicken Pod on Twitter. You can go to the website, beerandchickenpod.com. Everything's available there, man. We're gonna have a poll up. Are we going to have a poll up? No, we're not going to have a poll up this show, but what we are going to do is start implementing our picks, man. We're going to start publishing those picks on the website. So, you know, who said what, and you can keep track of that shit, and we can start having bragging rights on that shit. We might even have like a Beer and Chicken Pie cup or some shit for like, who wins the BNC cup? You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe it could be like one of those big ass beer cups we get down in New Orleans, man. Something like that. But yeah, man, go to beerandchickenpod.com for everything Beer and Chicken Pod related, man. Watch the replays of the show. You can download the show there. You can leave comments there, man. Everything is available there. Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music. Leave those 5-star reviews, man. Let people know that you're listening and spread the word, man. We really appreciate everybody who was in the chat room tonight checking us out. And we appreciate everybody who's going to be listening later on. And we're going to talk to y'all again next week, though, you know, fam. So until next time, peace.
Peace out.
And shout out to me for getting my camera and mic. Yay.
All right, now.